Our message this morning is found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. Matthew 23 through 28. Let's go ahead and pray. God, I just thank you. God, I thank you for amazing grace. And God, I thank you for the message of amazing grace that I once was lost, but now I am found, God. And God, this morning I just ask that you would speak to us. Wherever we are, God, that you would just touch us, God. For those who are here, those who are online, and those who will listen later, God, that you will just touch their hearts, God. That their heart and their mind will connect. And God, I pray that anything that may distract them, God, that you would take that away. God, whether it's a plan of the enemy or just things going on in life, God. God, that they would hear from you now. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 2, starting at the 23rd verse. And it said, it happened that as he was passing through the grain fields and began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain, the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions became hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests. And he gave it to those who were with him." Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." I've entitled the message this morning, "Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath." So, what does it mean to keep the Sabbath? The Sabbath is a regular, rhythmic time of rest that is present in the opening story of Scripture. Before humans turned away from God and before God established his partnership with the nation of Israel, he set a pattern of resting on the seventh day in Genesis 2. We reflect on the seventh day rest. So when we refer to Sabbath, we refer to the seventh day rests. But what does it mean for the Christian to observe the Sabbath today? Are Christians obligated to observe the Sabbath? And if so, how should they do it? Why should we keep a command to remember the Sabbath if we are not required to follow some of the other Old Testament laws, such as those concerning mixing fabrics or eating unclean animals? What does this practice of Sabbath look like for modern followers of Jesus? Does it involve attending a weekly church service, turning off work emails, or volunteering in the community? Does it matter which day we observe the Sabbath on? These activities would certainly be part of the Sabbath, but the overall biblical narrative emphasizes the Sabbath's purpose more than the specific rules for observing it. As followers of Jesus, God does not expect us to live by the laws of Israel. However, the wisdom inherent in these laws remains relevant. And the law regarding the Sabbath continues to hold significant meaning for us today. The Sabbath is not a command that we are bound to follow, rather, it's a promise that we are invited to enjoy. And so, as we're talking about Sabbath, you have to realize that the text is not just talking about the Sabbath or the keeping of the Sabbath. There's something bigger going on here in this passage. And our first point this morning is that the Sabbath is important. Okay. Now, we as modern people, we tend to, especially as Christians, we tend to think of the Sabbath as something old, something that was practiced in the Old Testament period. What was practice in the time of Jesus is not something we necessarily do. But here in the text, we find Jesus, verse 23, that he's passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain. And so you have to understand what they're doing is actually prohibited on the Sabbath, okay? They get pretty crazy and pretty radical on on Sabbath observance, okay? When we look at the Talmud and the Mishnah and what the rabbis at the time, they created all these rules and this whole system around Sabbath, how far you can walk. And basically, it breaks down. If you walked more than 800 meters on the Sabbath, you were breaking the Sabbath. You were considered traveling, okay? And you couldn't work, you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. One of the things that some of the rabbis said you could do is if your animal fell down, let's say one of your donkeys fell down in a well, you could get that donkey out, okay? But even they get even crazier in the Talmud, and it is that they start saying, if this happens and you can do this, and they try to cover every aspect. Basically, if your house collapsed in, okay, you were able to go in and remove enough of the debris to find out if there's people who are injured, okay? And you could take them out. But sometimes they said you couldn't even set, if they had a broken bone, you couldn't set it to the next day. And so they had all these rules. And if you look at the Qumran, the Essenes were almost fanatical that you didn't do nothing on the Sabbath. But here we find Jesus and his disciples. They're walking. They're not walking in a village. They're out in a place where there's a grain field. Okay, we don't know what kind of grain is. It might be wheat, could be barley. Some scholars even suggest corn, but I think it's more wheat or barley that they're out walking, and they're walking along and they're picking off the heads of the grain, okay, to eat it. Didn't know if you knew you could do that, but you could actually do this, okay? And this is actually prohibited according to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, it says that if you were walking and you were hungry, you could pick the grain heads off to feed yourself if you were walking by your neighbor's field. But what was prohibited is you could not ever do this on the Sabbath, okay? And so you know, the Sabbath begins on Friday evening at sundown, and it goes to Saturday evening at sundown. And so Jesus actually, he's breaking two rules here, okay? He's traveling on the Sabbath, which we know is prohibited, okay? But he's also picking these grains ahead on Sabbath. So he's kind of two things, but it seems the Pharisees are more focused in that the disciples are taking the grains off of this. And so verse 24, it says, the Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? They're really looking to kind of pick a fight with Jesus. They're looking to have issues with him. Their issue isn't so much with the disciples, it's with Jesus. Your followers are doing this. What kind of teacher are you? Okay. But let's talk about the Sabbath a little bit. Let's back up here a little bit and talk about the Sabbath. Okay. You have to remember the Sabbath is rooted in creation. You go to Genesis 1. On each day, God does something very orderly. And each day, there's a new aspect of creation that comes about, okay? And he begins and he separates the day from the night, and he does this, and he creates the seas and the land and the different animals. And on day six, he creates human beings. Creates them male and female, but when he gets to day seven, he rests. After all that he's got, after creating the universe, and creating the earth, and he sets it in an order, he rests from it. And what this does is it's creating a pattern, okay? That the Sabbath is goes back all the way back to creation, and here we have this pattern that God has established that the day is rest. And so But the Pharisees take this day of rest, okay, and they do something different with it. They don't make it about rest, they make it very legalistic. It's about do this, do that, don't do this. It's really more about don't do anything almost. Now, it's interesting, but for us as Christians, what do we consider Sabbath, okay? Should we begin Sabbathing on Friday evening all the way till sundown on Saturday? You can if you want, but there doesn't seem to be a real strong idea of this in the New Testament. Actually, what you see is the bigger day in the New Testament moves from the day of Sabbath to the Lord's Day, okay? And the Lord's Day almost replaces this idea of Sabbath. But what is the Lord's Day? The Lord's Day is on Sunday, okay? And the reason that it's on Sunday is this is the day that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. You know, this is when the tomb opened and that Jesus came back. And so the Christian said, oh, instead of practicing Sabbath, what we're going to do is we are going to celebrate on the Lord's Day, okay? And it's very likely that they walked more than 800 meters. They would typically, if you're a Christian, you would have church in someone's home, and you may walk, and I don't know how, it might be a couple miles because you may not have churches in every neighborhood. Christianity is new. It's not growing. It's not a huge thing. And so they would travel more, and they would come together, and they would worship God, and they would fellowship, and they would have a meal, and they would laugh, and it would be joy. Okay, so what you see in how New Testament Christians practice Sabbath or the Lord's Day is it tends to be much more joyous, much more a family oriented, much more worship. It's not about not what you don't do, but it's about what you're doing, lifting up God, spending time with other believers, fellowshipping, feasting together. So the Sabbath is important. Our second point this morning is that the Sabbath is for humanity. Really, we're talking about what is the purpose of the Sabbath, okay? Verse 25. And after the Pharisees have questioned Jesus about his disciples, and Jesus is going to answer for them. He appeals to David. He says, and he said to them, have you never heard read what David did when he was in need? And he and his companions became hungry, how they entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest. And he gave it to them, to those who were with him. This is radical. What David does is radical, okay? Is that they don't have a temple, but they have this kind of house of God set up, okay? And they probably have the tabernacle erected there. And they have the ark there. And but if you remember, you have really two rooms in the tabernacle. You have the Holy of Holies, and then you have the holy place. And in the holy place, you would have the different utensils. And one of the things that they would have on the table is they would have the consecrated bread, or if you go back to the Old Testament, it's called the showbread. This is the bread that was laid before the Lord, really offered to him, but only a few people could actually eat this, and these were the priests. The officiating priests were the ones who could actually eat this. But what they're saying is, when David was in such a time of need, when he was in his wilderness wanderings and he was hiding from King Saul, he became so hungry and so desperate that when he showed up to the house of God, that the priest said, hey, David is in more need of eating the showbread than we are. So they gave it to him and his companions. And so Jesus appeals to this. But he's not saying this is a proof that I can do this because David did that, okay? But it's an analogy. And Jesus, what he's lining him up for something bigger than the Sabbath. Because Jesus, being from the line of David, he is the Davidic Messiah, but he is also the Lord of David. He might be of the lineage of David, but since what he's saying, eventually he's going to announce to them down in verse 28 that the Son of Man is Lord of even the Sabbath. But because if he's the Son of Man, what he's claiming is he's declaiming a divine right to circumvent the Sabbath and to say, and he's saying, look, if David did this, how much the person who actually establishes the Sabbath? And he tells them that, look, he's going to go on and tell them. Verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was never meant to be a legalistic day where almost everything is prohibited, okay? It's not saying, oh my gosh, you know what? You see your neighbor over there struggling. They're trying to take something in the house. Don't you dare go over there and help them because that would be a prohibition of Sabbath. That's not what it's saying. That's what some of the rabbis made. That's what the Mishnah and the Talmud make it. But Jesus radically says that the Sabbath was not made for, or that man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for the man. Okay? The Sabbath was a day for humanity to rest, yes, but it's also a day to thank God for his faithfulness. It's a day to feast. We've talked about this in Leviticus, is that Sabbath isn't just a day of rest, but it's a day of feasting. It's a day of rejoicing. It's a day of acknowledging who God is. So Jesus is radically saying, no, you're approaching this thing wrong. You're coming at it that the Sabbath is so static that there's no moving around it, that these things have to be obeyed in any way. It's not like making a cake. It's not like a science experiment where if you do something different, you're going to have something that spontaneously combust and blow up. He says, no, the Sabbath was for you, Pharisees. The Sabbath is for us. It's a time for us to rest, to praise God for his faithfulness, to his goodness, to acknowledge his amazing grace, to say, I once was lost and now I'm found. Our third point this morning, Jesus has the authority. He has authority over the Sabbath. It says, so the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. Okay? That term, Son of Man, some scholars, particularly on the more liberal end of the spectrum, they want to say this is really just an acknowledgement of Jesus' humanity. No, nowhere do you read in the text where it says Son of Man. Is it referring to someone's humanity? What the Son of Man is really, it's a divine term. It's an announcement that Jesus is God. And by stating that he is the Son of Man, he's also saying that I am the Lord of the Sabbath, and he's highlighting his authority. I have the authority to let my disciples do this. You're missing the mark on what Sabbath is. You've made it something that it's actually not. Sometimes we in Christianity, we make things like we make following Jesus more difficult than it actually is. I think there's a challenge to following Jesus, okay? That we are taking our old sinful life and God is transforming us and renew us, but some of those old thought patterns, some of those things that have been ingrained to us, we wrestle with how to get rid of them. But then we've got maybe, and they're probably well-meaning Christians, and they come along and don't you do this, don't you do that. I mean, I've heard Christians argue that you shouldn't go eat at Applebee's because they have a bar there. Well, by that same token, please don't go anywhere because there might be worldly people cursing. There might be worldly people there doing worldly things. So therefore, you better not go and show up because, God forbid, you might be around worldly people. Now, if you're someone who struggles with alcohol, And just being around it, you get drawn in. Okay, maybe going to a place that serves liquor is not a good thing. But at a certain point, there has to be some maturity. There has to be some growth that says, hey, I can be around sin, around people who are sinning. I can be around things that might be sinful, and it's not going to be cause me to sin. But when you're weak, don't go there, okay? But we don't need to put that same burden on everyone else. Oh, don't you dare go to a football game. They're worshiping that football team. They're cheering it on. You don't cheer for Jesus like that at church. Yeah, that's a completely different environment, okay? There are people there, they're cheering, they're excited, they want their team to win, okay? We know as Christians know that we're already going to win, okay? Yeah, I think we should be excited. I don't have a problem if you want to dance and shout and roll around on the floor. That's all right. But let's not put some of these same burdens, these burdens that actually really do nothing for us. See, what happens, some of us, we become so legalistic and so tied in, and we create this whole structure of things that when we figure out that the structure is faulty, everything falls apart. And all of a sudden, that structure that we had, that thing that we did, that we can't function anymore. And we lose faith. And we go out and do the thing that we swear we weren't going to do because we found out that the structure that we built was a faulty structure. And Jesus is telling the Pharisees, you have a faulty structure surrounding Sabbath. You've made it into something that it was never, ever meant to be. My disciples are hungry. They're going to eat. Okay? It's not like they're not stealing. Okay? Deuteronomy tells them that they're able to do this. But not only does Jesus announce his authority, it's an announcement that he is God. And only God has the authority to speak and circumvent the Sabbath, okay? This isn't something that I can do. It's not something that you can do. It's not something that Bible scholars can do. Well, you know what? We got together and we had a holy convocation and we decided that the Sabbath rules no longer apply, or we decided that, we no longer have to love one another as ourselves, right? No. This is Jesus. He's announcing. He's saying, no, you're missing the point of what Sabbath is. Here's the thing. Sabbath is not binding for Christians, okay? You're not going to go to hell because you didn't practice Sabbath starting on Friday night, going into Saturday evening, okay? You don't have to just stay home and cease from doing everything. But here's the thing. It's still a pattern, okay? It's a pattern of rest, worship, and feasting. Okay? Or, in the words of Eugene Peterson, it's a time to pray and a time to play. Okay? Eugene Patterson, or Peterson will talk about that. Him and his wife, when they would Sabbath, they would go to church, and then afterwards they would go walk in the wilderness, and they would pray together, and they would enjoy nature, and they would do these things that they felt like it was play, it was enjoyment to them. It recharged them. It brought them closer to God. And so, yes, the Sabbath isn't binding in the way that the Pharisees saw it, or even how we read in the Old Testament. Okay, the Old Testament doesn't actually give us a ton of instructions on how to Sabbath. It just says, don't do some of these things. But it's still good to find days of rest. It's still time. It's good to find a day of where we're going to worship God, and we're going to feast, and we're going to celebrate the goodness of God. Now, for some of us, okay, it would be hard, okay? I think Sunday seems like a natural day for many people who don't have to work, okay? But for some people, firemen, police officers, pastors, or other people, doctors or nurses, they are required to work on Sunday. They're required to. You can't ask them to Sabbath on a day that, because God forbid, if your loved one has a heart attack, you want a doctor to be there. You want the ambulance to come and bring them. So I encourage you, if it's not Sunday, find another day where you can rest and recharge. A day that you can draw closer to God. A day that you can celebrate God's goodness and his faithfulness to you. Here's our big idea this morning. Jesus is Lord of our day of rest, okay? He's the Lord of your day of rest, okay? Again, we may not practice Sabbath the way that they did, the way the Pharisees did. We should have a day of rest. And Jesus is the Lord of that day of rest. Again, it's not meant to be legalistic. It's not meant to be a heavy burden on you. It's a time to recharge. It's a time to renew ourselves, draw near to God. So here's our question. Do you have a day? Do you have a Sabbath? Do you have a day of rest? Okay. Just practically speaking, if you can find the one day, the same day every week where you're saying, you know what, this is going to be my day that I rest, a day that I draw close to God, a day that I remember. Because if you don't make it the same day and you try to bounce it around each day, each week, it's going to become a challenge to you just to do it. Something will always come up. So find that regular Sabbath day and make sure that you rest, worship, and feast. That's what God has called you to do. Now, I'm not saying you gotta like, you don't have to cook like you would on Thanksgiving. You don't have to cook like, but the idea of feasting, that it's a celebrate. Okay? It's not meant, Sabbath's not meant to just to be a somber thing, a quiet thing. You're meant to celebrate God's goodness, His faithfulness, that He brought you out. He brought you a mighty long way. So my challenge to you is find a day of Sabbath. Find a day of rest. Spend some time with Jesus. Spend some time remembering how he delivered you, how he saved you. Because we all need rest. Young, old, employed, non-employed. We all need that one day that we just take that time. And I'm not saying you can't go to Home Depot, you can't go to the grocery store. But make sure that it's a time of rest that you draw near to God. Let's just go ahead and pray. God, I just thank you. God, I thank you for Sabbath. I thank you for rest. God, I thank you for what it actually truly is. A day that we pray and play. God, a day that we draw close to you. A day that we celebrate, God. And God, I pray that this week that we would draw close to you. That we would be strengthened by you, that we would be renewed. God, and I just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.